About Jesus' ascension. The scriptures tell us that 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven and no longer walked on the earth. That actually, 40 days was actually Thursday, this past Thursday, but we celebrate Ascension Sunday today. And we're going to be looking back at Jesus' very final words as he stood on this earth. At this point, and he's speaking to his disciples, at this point, he's made all the preparations for them. He's handing the ministry over to them, and they are going to have to start the church as Jesus goes to heaven. So, listen in on this final conversation Jesus has with his disciples. This last interchange between Jesus and the ones he chose to carry on his ministry. We'll be reading from Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time you'll restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Holy God, we do thank you for your word today, and we pray that you would open our eyes to your scriptures, that these words would land deep within our hearts today, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, you might teach us and show us how to apply them to our own lives. We thank you today, once again, O God, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever invested a lot of time and energy into a project, only to end up feeling in the end that you had wasted all your time and energy? I'm sure each of us probably can come up with our own story. It's sort of like if you have kids, and maybe hypothetical, of course, but maybe your kid is not eating very well, and you're trying to come up with some way for your kid to eat better, and you're looking online, and you find a great recipe, and you're like, that, not only will that taste good, but it's going to provide good nutrition for my kid. So you go and you search out the ingredients, and of course it's not stuff you normally buy. It takes forever to find stuff at the store, and you get it, and you come home and you put it all together and you cook it, and it didn't work, and you have to try it again, and you messed it up, but it finally comes together, and you have this whatever it is. Let's call it a cookie. Okay, it's a cookie that's going to solve all of your nutritional problems at home, right? And you take this cookie and you're so excited and you give it to your kid, and the kid looks at him, takes a bite, and spits it right out. Complete failure, right? Now, I know maybe that's not happened to you, but surely you've invested some time and energy in something that has ended up being a disappointment. And I can't help but think that Jesus feels a little bit that way with his disciples today. In our scripture lesson, Jesus has just invested 3 years training and pouring himself into these disciples. And before he can even speak in this passage, they come up with a question. A question asking Jesus, now, is now the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That's their question. And I'll get into why Jesus must have been terribly disappointed, but what an awful question. Jesus has just spent 3 years teaching them that the kingdom of God doesn't look like this. It's not an earthly kingdom. He's not coming to restore the kingdom of Israel back to the days of David like all the Israelites wanted. That's exactly what he didn't come to do. And he's been spending 3 years telling them this, and they still didn't get it. John Calvin says that the disciples' question here has as many things wrong with it as it has words. There's just nothing we can find in it that's right. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? The disciples' question shows that they're not really waiting for God's kingdom, as Jesus has been teaching, but they're waiting for the kingdom to go back to the days of David and be like the good old days. That's what they're looking at, exactly what Jesus said is not going to happen. Their whole concept of the kingdom of God is clearly not in line with Jesus at this point. Their question also says, is this the time that you're going to do this, Jesus? You're going to restore the kingdom. We're just going to sit back and watch. And of course, Jesus has not spent 3 years doing all that he's done with his disciples for them to sit back now and watch him do it. He's trying to pass the ministry off into their hands. But they're thinking of themselves much more as spectators. Their whole way of looking at things is mixed up. But Jesus, gracious as he is, at this point does not reprimand them. He simply says, God's going to figure out the times and dates. He doesn't reprimand them here. He calmly explains and then redirects them. And he says, you, my disciples, will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. He doesn't talk about what he's going to do. Jesus doesn't talk about all these things that are actions of his own. He says, you will be my witnesses. You are going to do these things. The disciples will be his witnesses, not just there in Jerusalem, but spreading out in concentric circles all the way to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses, he tells them. You will be on display as my representatives in all the things that you say, all the things that you do. People will look to you as my representatives on the earth. Because I'm leaving, Jesus tells them. This passage is known as the Great Commission in Acts. We're used to the Great Commission being when Jesus talks to his disciples at the end of Matthew, go into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, making disciples in all nations. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the Great Commission in Matthew. But this is the Great Commission in Acts. You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. So it's a huge task. Obviously, well beyond what the disciples are capable of handling at this time. But the one comforting thing Jesus does say here in this passage is that you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, a key piece in their success as they take on this task, the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus leaves them with this gargantuan task of being his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And then he says, simply, wait. So he drops this ginormous command upon them and then says, wait. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes to you with power. One last time, Jesus turns everything upside down for his disciples. I can imagine if I were one of his disciples sitting there that day, listening to him, taking on this huge task that he's giving, and then he says, wait, I would be like, wait, what? Jesus, this is a huge task. Wouldn't it make more sense for us to jump into this and get going? I mean, we've got some momentum from the resurrection that we don't want to die out here. We want to, people are remembering you right now. We don't want that to go by the wayside and miss this opportunity. Don't we need to get moving, Jesus? Well, no. Jesus says simply, wait. Jesus says wait because the disciples are not yet ready. They've observed, they've practiced even some of the things that Jesus has done. He's empowered them on occasion to exorcise demons and do healings, and these very things that he's been doing, they've been able to do on occasion. They've watched Jesus do it. They've heard all of Jesus' teachings on the kingdom of God. They've been taught directly by Jesus himself for 3 years. But they're not ready. They're not ready to be on their own until the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus knows this. If they were to set out on their own without the power of the Holy Spirit, it would be a disaster. And Jesus knows this. They would fail without the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says, wait. Wait. By forcing the disciples to wait, Jesus is showing that this huge task he's giving them is not really theirs at all. This is God's work. You need to wait. And when God is ready, then we'll move forward. The kingdom of God is a gift that God gives. It's a gift that God gives. And the disciples had to wait on God's timing. If they were to start out right away on their own, they might get confused and begin to think that this is something they're doing under their own power. If they jumped out and said, that's a great task, Jesus. We'll spread the word into the whole world. Let's get going. Boom. And they set out on their own. They might get confused that it was actually something they're doing under their own power. Remember, Jesus is not in a hurry. We learned about hurry as one of the great enemies of our souls. Jesus is not in a hurry to get this done. He has literally all the time in the world. And so he's requiring his disciples not to be in a hurry either, to slow down. Though the greatness of this command that they've just received is anxiety-producing, right? It would be for any one of us. Jesus says, wait, slow down. Slow down. The good news of this passage here, I think, is that the disciples actually obey Jesus. They do exactly what he says. We don't find that in every case, but here the disciples did what Jesus asked. They faithfully obeyed Jesus' command, and they waited. In verse 14, we find that they waited continually praying. They got together in the upper room. It may very well be the very same room that Jesus shared the Last Supper with his disciples. We don't know that for certain, but it could be there in Jerusalem as they returned to Jerusalem. And there they prayed. They got together and they waited, just as Jesus said. They didn't passively wait with their feet propped up, but they waited praying. And it's easy to read right past verse 14 and not catch it, but I think it's a key to the success that we find the disciples have later in Acts. I think this prayer time is a key to their success. The 11 apostles, as you recall, we lost one, right? The 11 apostles, plus some of the women, including Jesus' own mother and his brothers, who had been against Jesus but have now decided to follow Jesus, are there. And the rest of those who follow Jesus, his disciples, are all there praying together continually. This prayer showed that they depended on God. Instead of jumping into the task Jesus gave them, they slowed down and they said, we depend on God and we're going to pray to God. Reminding themselves that they cannot do this work on their own. The prayer slowed their pace, helping them to deal with the anxiety, slowing everything down so that they could walk in step with God instead of sometimes we're tempted to drag God behind us, right? As we rush out to do what he's commanded us. But they slowed their pace through prayer so that they could be in step with God. And also, I think, deep down inside their hearts, their time of prayer together prepared them to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It wouldn't be all that long before the Holy Spirit would come down at Pentecost, which we'll celebrate next Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. It wouldn't be that long before the Holy Spirit would come. But I think that the disciples at this point, before the prayer time, were not ready to receive the Holy Spirit completely. This prayer time prepared their hearts so that when the Holy Spirit came, they were able to receive fully that gift. I would argue that if they had not had this prayer time together, Pentecost might have looked quite a bit different, and the disciples might not have been able to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit like they did. Today, you and I, this church, stands here as a testament to the work of these early disciples. They were successful. We'll see in the coming weeks, we're going to be taking a trip through Acts, looking at different stories of how the Holy Spirit worked through these early disciples. And we'll see that the church indeed was established. We'll see that the Holy Spirit worked incredible miracles through these disciples. And I believe that the fact that they turned to God in prayer when Jesus said for them to wait for the Holy Spirit, the fact that they prayed has a lot to do with their success. It put them in the right frame of mind for God to use them. Finally, the disciples had gotten it right. The passage starts out with a terrible question of the disciples, but finally, in the end, they get it right. Thankfully, they obeyed and they waited on Jesus. They waited for the Holy Spirit. As we sit here today, I want to remind you that this gargantuan task that Jesus gave to his disciples has also now been passed on to us. None of these guys who were sitting with Jesus that day are still alive. They passed along, thankfully, through the Holy Spirit. They had established the church, and the good news of Jesus has been passed down through the generations to us. But logically speaking, if just one generation of the church lays down and does not continue this work, the church dies. By God's grace, through the years, the church has stayed alive. But our proper response is required, just as it was for the disciples. This remains our task today, from Midland to the ends of the earth, to be Jesus' witnesses. We have to carry on the work of Jesus, bringing God's kingdom to the earth. We find ourselves in many ways in the very same position that those early disciples did. We have a task that Jesus has given us that's way bigger than anything we can handle on our own, just like the disciples. A gargantuan task outside our capabilities. I hope you do see it that way. I hope you don't read these words and say, oh, witnesses to the end of the earth, no problem. I hope you see this as something bigger than any one of us can handle on our own. We must have God's help. We must depend on the power of the Holy Spirit to work. If any changes are going to be made for eternity's sake, it's going to be because the Holy Spirit is at work, not because I've mustered up all this great ability and I've done something on my own. It must be the work of the Holy Spirit. So, since we've been given the same command as the disciples, and we find ourselves in the same position as they were, let's follow their example. As Jesus told them to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit, let's follow their example. Wait and pray as they did. Wait actively and expectantly. Through prayer, as we pray, God will remind us that this work depends not on us, but this work depends on God. It's not about my abilities and my preparation. It's about the Holy Spirit working through me. As we pray, God will show us that the pace of the work must be His. We won't know what that pace is unless we slow down and we pray. And God helps us to walk in step with Him. And just as God did for those early disciples, as we pray, God will prepare us to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. As followers of Jesus now in the post-Pentecost world, we already have the gift of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But we continually need to be renewed and recharged, so to speak, so that the Holy Spirit continues to work through us. So I want to encourage you today to wait. Not passively, not with your feet propped up, which is good on occasion, by the way, but spiritually speaking, not with our feet propped up, sitting back waiting for God to do everything, but actively waiting and praying and saying, God, I'm ready when you are. We do this work together. I am yours. Use me. Let us wait like the disciples did with anticipation, expectation, excitement about what God will be doing. Friends, brothers and sisters, disciples of Jesus, let us wait. Amen.